Radio Prague News.
German Chancellor Angela Merkel is in Prague for talks on the future of the EU and the migrant crisis. President Zeman says the Czech Republic should call for an end to EU sanctions against Russia. And the Senate has approved a proposed amendment to the law which would allow cyclists a small alcohol tolerance limit. German Chancellor Angela Merkel, who is in Prague within her post-Brexit European tour, on Thursday met with Czech Prime Minister Bohuslav Sobotka to debate the migrant crisis, the future of the European Union after Brexit, and bilateral cooperation. On the divisive issue of migration, the Chancellor said there were principal issues on which the two sides were in agreement, such as the need to enforce the protection of the EU's outer borders and the need to address the primary cause of the migrant crisis. Prague remains opposed to the concept of mandatory quotas, but Prime Minister Sobotka stressed that the existing differences did not mean that the two sides were not prepared to communicate and address them. On another hot international issue, the German Chancellor and Czech Prime Minister rejected calls for an end to the EU sanctions against Russia, advocated, among others, by Czech President Miloš Zeman. Chancellor Merkel said the lifting of sanctions could only come with progress in fulfilling the Minsk agreement, which was clearly not happening. Prime Minister Sobotka said the conditions under which the sanctions could be modified or lifted had been made clear from the outset, and until they had been met, there was no point in debating the issue. The German Chancellor is later scheduled to meet with President Miloš Zeman, a fierce opponent of migration, and will attend a dinner given in her honour at Prague's Liechtenstein Palace. The German Chancellor's visit to Prague was marked by street protests. Around 200 demonstrators gathered outside the office of the government to watch her arrive on Thursday, blowing whistles and holding up slogans reading, "Away with Merkel, away with Islam," or "Merkel is killing Europe." Some of the protesters exchanged verbal insults with the dozen or so Merkel supporters who also arrived on the scene. The police were out in force to maintain order. The Chancellor, who was an extremely popular politician in Prague ahead of the migrant crisis, was led in through a back door so as to avoid coming into direct contact with a crowd. The Czech Republic should join the states that are proposing a withdrawal of EU sanctions against Russia, President Miloš Zeman said at the opening of an agricultural goods fair in České Budějovice. The president argued that the sanctions had benefited no one and were damaging both Czech farmers and the Czech industry. The sanctions are a sign of helplessness on the part of the European Union, and if our politicians want to help the agricultural sector, they should take a clear stand in support of the states that propose a withdrawal of these sanctions, Zeman said. He pointed out that the French economy minister Emmanuel Macron and the German foreign minister Frank-Walter Steinmeier had openly argued in favour of withdrawing the sanctions. The Czech Senate has approved a proposed amendment to the law which would change the present zero alcohol tolerance for cyclists in the Czech Republic to a small amount of alcohol permitted. The proposal is based on the current norm in Austria, which allows a blood alcohol level of up to 0.8 millilitres, the second most benevolent norm in Europe after Germany. This roughly corresponds to two or three beers or two glasses of wine. The proposed amendment was drafted on the grounds of a petition from close to 5,000 bikers. It will now be debated in the lower house. The Transport Ministry is vehemently opposed to the proposed change on the grounds that it would significantly decrease road safety. The regional court in Ostrava has started bankruptcy proceedings against the company Vítkovice Power Engineering. Creditors have 2 months in which to file claims. According to earlier reports, the company owes close to 2 billion crowns to over 700 creditors. The company filed for reorganization bankruptcy last week in what many see as an attempt of the mother company Vítkovice to retain some control over the bankruptcy proceedings. And finally, the weather. Meteorologists have issued a heat warning for the coming weekend when temperatures are expected to reach 35 degrees Celsius in places. The coming days are expected to be the longest hot stretch in the course of the entire summer, with temperatures between 33 and 35 degrees Celsius. The heat wave should break on Monday. The situation is further complicated by the fact that the coming weekend is the last ahead of the new school year, and thousands of people will be on the road returning home from the holiday. days. I'm Daniela Lazarova, and that's the end of the news.
This is Radio Prague, the international service of Czech Radio, with me, Jan Fellinger. In today's program, the Czech Republic will have an ambassador to Cuba for the first time in 27 years. The Nine Gates Festival of Czech, German, Jewish Culture is back, and a little later in the program, we look at the fashion brand Gypsy Mama. That's all ahead. After a gap of 27 years, the Czech Republic will soon once again have an ambassador in Cuba, Foreign Minister Lubomír Zaorálek has just announced. Ties between the two countries cooled with the advent of democracy in the then Czechoslovakia, but in the last couple of years, Prague has been making great efforts to improve relations with the communist state. Ian Willoughby asked the head of the Institute for International Relations, Petr Kratochvíl, why the change had come about at this point in time.
There are several domestic reasons and several external reasons. Now, the first of them is, of course, that the announcement is timed around the time when ambassadors are meeting here in Prague. So it is part of the broader PR offensive by the foreign minister. The external reasons, of course, are revolve around what you might generally call a sort of European mainstreaming in many parts of Czech foreign policy regarding the relations with Israel, for instance, the relations with Cuba, basically following the lead of the other EU member states, because, as you know, most of virtually all relevant EU member states have an ambassador in Cuba. So it's not really a U-turn in terms of steering the wheel away from human rights promotion in Cuba, but rather balancing it with doing at least some economically oriented diplomacy that in the past 20 years was almost entirely missing from Czech-Cuban relations.
Why were the ties initially downgraded between the two states?
That, I think, is quite simple. As you know, during the communist times, Cuba was one of the sort of closest allies for the socialist bloc, in particular Czechoslovakia at that time. Then after the change, Cuba, perhaps together with Belarus, became a sort of focal point for Czech human rights promotion abroad. In this sense, Cuba is no exception, because in a similar vein, other socialist countries or communist countries were targeted by Czech foreign policy promotion. The reason or the argument given was that we had a similar experience. We know a lot about the transformation from a communist regime to democracy, and that is why we can help similar countries the best. That was the argument, even though in practical terms the results were rather limited, especially in relation to Cuba. And this was something, in fact, what Foreign Minister Zaorálek just stressed this week, saying that the policy of embargo and isolation didn't work, basically repeating the words of President Obama, and that is why we are happy to establish the to have an ambassador there and to try a different tack.
Over the years, Czech NGOs have given a lot of support to the opposition in Cuba. Is that no longer a problem for the Cuban regime?
It certainly is a slight change, not a radical, as I said, not a radical U-turn, but there is a slight change in the focus or the, let's say, programs which the ministry wants to support. But in practical terms, not much has changed so far in terms of support for dissidents, in terms of the focus on particular NGOs here in the Czech Republic that support the dissidents in Cuba. Of course, it is a problem, but I think that the perceptions on both sides have been changing, both on the Czech side and on the Cuban side.
That was the head of the Institute for International Relations, Petr Katochvíl, talking to Ian Willoughby. This week, Prague is hosting the 17th edition of the annual Nine Gates Festival of Czech German Jewish Culture. The event, which got underway on Wednesday, takes place at Prague's Bubny railway station, where during World War II, Czech Jews boarded trains to concentration camps and to death camps. This year, the festival focuses on a lesser-known chapter in the history of World War II, Shanghai's role in sheltering thousands of European Jews. Ruth Frankova has more.
As in the previous years, the Nine Gates Festival brings the successful Lustig Train Project, a theatrical performance inspired by the famous novel A Prayer for Katarzyna Horowitz by Arnosz Lustig, which takes place in the actual train cars that transported Jews to concentration camps. This year, the Lustig Train carries the name The Train of Salvage, and as part of the accompanying program is dedicated to China, which, along with the Dominican Republic, was the only country in the world in the late 1930s to keep its doors open to the Jewish refugees from Europe. Over 30,000 Jews were saved due to the visa-free policy. Pavel Chalupa, the head of the Nine Gates Festival, says this little-known chapter in Jewish history is all the more important in view of the current migrant crisis in Europe.
Československých Židů se zachránilo.
Some 450 Czechoslovak Jews were saved this way, although the lists that are available are incomplete. An exhibition dedicated to the topic will be on display at Bubny Station. It will include panels with names of the people and places where they came from. In some cases, we also succeeded in tracing their stories and how their lives continued after repatriation.
Due to the enormous success of the previous editions of the Lustig Train, the Bubny train station will again come alive with a theatrical adaptation of the novel A Prayer for Katarzyna Horowitz, which is set in 1943 on a train to the infamous Auschwitz death camp in Poland. Over the past 4 years, over 70 performances have been staged not only in the Czech Republic, but also in Slovakia and Poland. Pavel Chalupa again.
I think the performance has been so successful thanks to the authenticity of the environment. There are trains passing by while the actors are performing, and this is exactly what happened during the war years when Jews were taken from this station to concentration and death camps. There were trains filled with people while normal life unfolded by, with people going to work or on trips. And this is what makes it so authentic and also so chilling.
Apart from theatrical performances and the exhibition dedicated to China's role in saving thousands of Jews, the Nine Gates Festival of Czech-German Jewish Culture will also offer a series of lectures and film screenings. The festival will run at Prague's Bubny station until the 31st of August.
Ruth Frankova reporting there on the Nine Gates Festival of Czech, German and Jewish Culture. Panorama with Daniela Lazarova is next.
The Gypsy Mama fashion brand is the work of a Czech NGO which has been very active in helping to improve the living conditions of several thousand Romanis living in one of the country's biggest socially excluded areas known as the Brno Bronx. Gypsy Mama was established to help young Romanis get a foothold on the labour market by harnessing their creative potential and giving them work experience. I spoke to the project manager of the NGO Tripitaka, Zdeněk Reiser, about its goals and ambitions.
The Gypsy Mama project is based on innovation in fashion. It combines Roma traditional clothing with modern design for young people.
Well, can you tell me how the idea emerged? I hear there is something similar in Hungary. Was that what gave you the idea?
Yeah. Yeah, we invented the idea in our creative team, in our non-profit organization, Tripitaka. It is 4 years ago. We started slowly, and then we discovered as well that there is a similar fashion brand named Romani Design in Hungary. We are in contact now, but we will see if we would cooperate. It's quite open.
But who got the idea of using Romani Design? How did that emerge?
It was me in our team. Or we have a discussion who was it exactly, but it emerged during one hour of dialogue about new projects. And we wanted to help young Romani people living in Brno. There is an area called Brno Bronx. There is 5,000 Roma people living, and there is the rate of unemployment is 90%.
But I understand that none of the designers are Romanis, are young Romanis. They're Czechs. So where did you get the designers, and why did you choose this way of helping?
We were looking about for young Romani fashion designers, but we didn't find some. Only one is quite. It's Peter Pavel Belky. He's from Slovakia. He lives in London, and he's quite successful in the fashion world. And we tried to cooperate, but it looks that it would take some time or longer. So we
had to address Czech designers
here,
obviously.
Yeah, we addressed the Czech designers, young ones. So first we cooperated with four young designers, Czech ladies, and they tried, they developed pilot collections. We had first fashion shows, and we started to cooperate with the Museum of Roma Culture settled in Brno.
Was it difficult to get them to actually use traditional Roma wear in their designs?
They visited the collection of Museum of Roma Culture, and they inspired, and then suddenly they produced some collections. They were quite amazing. And because the fashion show and the project, it was quite successful. So
when was it launched? When was your first fashion show?
I think it was 2012. And after...
Where did you hold it, and what was the first reaction
The first reaction was... it was during the festival, Ghetto Fest, that we do as well in the Brno Bronx. And the people were excited. And we have a young Roma models.
So you do use Romani girls as models and young men?
Both. Yes. Both Romani and
Czechs. Yeah,
Czechs,
yeah.
Yes. We want to go together. And the response was quite huge. People were excited. Many of volunteers were included in this first part of the project. So we had to continue.
And did the clothes start selling well then?
We started selling 1 year ago. It took some time because we went step by step. Now we are selling it through internet. We have our shop in Brno as well. We employ 3 or 4 young Roma people, so they have jobs. They have still 6 months contract, and then we want them to get another job, so we are helping them. It's a part of social work as well in the project, and then we recruit another young Roma people. They need to help a little bit because they have basic schooling and long-term unemployment. They face some prejudice as well, so it's quite hard for them to get a job and this.
Who is this fashion line targeted at? Who are your customers?
We want to focus on all society. We want to sell throughout all sections of society.
But predominantly teenagers, I would assume.
The name Gypsy Mama, when we studied the responses, for example, on social networks, the most addressed group are ladies from 25 till 35. So we are slowly, first we wanted to focus on teenagers, but now we are a little bit moving the focus for those young or middle-aged ladies. Maybe that's why the Gypsy Mama name has
Why did Mama. You choose Gypsy Mama? Was it meant to convey a special message, or did you just think if this would be catchy, people will like that?
Yeah. We wanted to have a collection like hip hop, so it's a little bit from hip hop culture to Mama, Gypsy Mama. So then then it was an idea. And there is a large group of young Roma ladies. They are long-term unemployed, and they have babies usually when they are 18. So it's focused for young unemployment Roma moms as well.
And what are the clothes like? They appeal to young people. I would sort of assume they'll be very bright, colorful, young.
It's for leisure time, of course. It's like streetwear. The current collection, we have bright colors. The ornaments there came from gypsy culture as well. Scarves, for example, or skirts, and a lot of kinds of clothing. Now we are coming up with a new collection by autumn. So we have two designers. One line is a little bit darker, and another line of the collection is funny and with colors, bright colors, always with ornaments. And then we want to produce as well the accessories, earrings, another ones,
brooches and
exactly.
The kind of things, bracelets.
There's a one dimension of expansion, but our vision is to expand throughout Europe or European Union. And we want to sell through all the Europe, and to help through this way, the Roma communities, because there is 6 million Roma people in Europe, throughout all countries. So we want to work in other countries as well and produce this kind of fashion. And to set social enterprises and to give the Roma people jobs, and then the people from major community they can see that Roma people can be productive, creative, not passive.
You are head of marketing. Is it difficult to market this product? Did you find it difficult to get on the market?
Yes. Somewhere it's hard, but for young moms, for example, or young ladies from 25 to 35, it goes so easy, and they want to help as well. So they have a good heart. So they see that it's a non-profit organization. That there's some meaning in these projects, and they like the fashion. So all together, it works. But slowly, of course. And
you said you'd like to see the project go international in a few years' time, if possible. Mm-hmm. Is there a possibility for cooperation in Europe?
We hope so.
To help this idea.
But first we want to work in the Czech Republic for for example, 1-2 years. To establish the brand, and then we will start to cooperate through different organizations, institutions with Roma community, for example, through the Museum of Roma Culture. So I believe that there will be the possibility, the way. For example, we go with the new collection to Brussels by autumn. There is a fashion design market, and there will be smaller original fashion brands from 10 countries from Europe. So maybe there we will be successful there, and maybe we will be asked for some cooperation.
Do you envisage maybe using Romani fashion designers in due time as well?
That's our goal as well, to educate or to find some Roma fashion designers and to work together with Czech designers. So now it will need some time, of course, but we are thinking about it, and we believe that it will be possible. There is some high school of design, fashion design or textile, and there are some Roma students. So we hope that they will be our designers, and we can produce fashion with them.
You've been listening to Panorama, hosted by Daniela Lazarova. Her guest this week was Deník Rajser about the Gypsy Mama fashion brand. That's about all we have time for this day, but a quick reminder, if you'd like to comment on anything you've heard, if you have any questions for us, write to english@radio.cz. Also, look us up online. Radio.cz is the address to visit, where you'll find many more stories, news items, and features in both sound and text. I'm Ann Villinger, for myself and for all of the Radio Prague team. Thank you so much for joining us this day, and take care.